Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Does it seem to you that as the years roll by, childhood is ending sooner and adolescence is beginning sooner? If you know or are parenting a tween, today's guest will become a favorite of yours. Robin Schulman, with a master's degree in education, is certified in Illinois to teach elementary school and English as a Second Language, or ESL. You will value her thoughts on tweens and social media, particularly Instagram, and its various effects on this age group, including some safety concerns. Robin currently works with Teacher Match, a company that was founded by a group of dedicated, passionate educators, including nationally awarded K-12 instructors, who understand that teachers are the most critical factor in the classroom. Teacher Match Quest, which launches this month, was created to help employers and job seekers be a part of this vision. Robin is the lead teaching mentor within Quest's advanced resources offerings, providing real-world advice and insights and everything a teaching candidate needs to know about successful interviewing. Robin is also on the advisory board of the STEADY Academy, an initiative which is part of WizKids Technology Centers. She is an education blogger for Chicago Now, which is owned by the Chicago Tribune, and she manages her own education site, ED News Daily. Robin's work has been published and were profiled in various K-12 education magazines and throughout university media outlets. She also appeared on Fox News Chicago, providing tips for parents and teachers in regard to bullying online and in the classroom. When she's not working, she spends time with her husband and daughter and enjoys a good book, painting, and more writing. So, Robin, welcome to the Social Network Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me again. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we always enjoy talking with you, Robin, and one thing that we do know that there are the generation, I believe it's Generation X that's raising their kids now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's my generation.
and so they are dealing with, they've got a foot in each world. They grew up without much technology, and they're raising kids that know almost nothing but technology. So we know that Instagram is one of the most favorite tools among tweens. And first of all, tell me, what ages are actually included in that expression, tweens?
Tweens are basically, you know, the 11 through 12 range. I guess you could say maybe 10 through 12, right before they hit the teenage mm-hmm. years.
Okay.
So it's that age, you know, kind of where you're transitioning from being a child, young, you know, elementary school student, and you're in the middle school generation. The middle school, and then high school. So it's that in between, kind of, you know, who am I? Were you really discovering yourself age, that 10 to 12 parameter?
And, of course, years ago, it was 7th grade that started mid-school, and now it's frequently 6th grade. And so there's Correct. Been kind of a downward drift of adolescence, you might say. So anyway, to get back to Instagram and the tweens, what do you notice happening?
Well, you know, I notice a few things happening. There are obviously kids on there who are a little too young. There are some really good things happening I've seen, and there's some things that are cause of concern. I'm really concerned about the lack of parental monitoring. Mm-hmm. When I look on there and I see so much stuff that's inappropriate, I have a high concern. I'm concerned about the kids' safety, the geolocation. A lot of the kids, you know, if you just press on the button, there's a little thing, and it tells you exactly where they live. Mm. A lot of those kids don't have those settings turned off. So I think my biggest concern is what's going on there and what's not being monitored by the parents, because there's a lot going on there. Just the interaction between the kids and the things that they're posting and the things that they're viewing can be very age inappropriate and dangerous.
Well, what is the age limit officially for Instagram? How old are you supposed to be before you use it, or are there any limits?
You're supposed to be 13 to start, but it seems to be more of a tween type of thing where younger kids are on. And so at this time, I'm not aware, and I don't believe that they have to put their age level in.
You know,
we're seeing a lot of those, that age level on there, very popular with that age level.
As you talk, there's a couple of our guests that have come to mind, and one is alertid.com.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of geolocation, it helps people know, for instance, where sex offenders are in their neighborhood. And that might mm-hmm. be helpful to parents. In fact, one of the reasons that's on there is that a parent whose child was murdered said they didn't even know that this perpetrator was in their neighborhood. And so at that point, the founder of Alert ID said, promised this, we will try to make people aware, let them be aware of possible risks. And the other thing is SecureShow.com. I'm hoping that she will be able to, Lynn Robertson will be able to use that service or encourage others to use it to validate ages, because they can do that in real time and very accurately. So if these companies are serious about limiting the ages that come on their site, there are means to do that and keep younger ones mm-hmm. off. But, if, you know, until that happens. So let's talk about that, the inappropriate type of content. Now, first, let's talk about what kids are sharing with each other. What can you tell us about that? When you say you're concerned, what type of things are you concerned about?
Well, you know, they're sharing a lot of pictures of themselves doing dancing, you know, in their dance attire, stretching, posing. Another thing that they're doing, you know, pictures that just shouldn't be online of children mm-hmm. in inappropriate mm-hmm. dress, young girls. There is a lot going on with a group of kids, would be at a party or a get-together, and then obviously one child who hasn't seen it, who has been invited to it, will see it online, and they will notice that they weren't invited. And so that's another thing. And, of course, the selfies, thousands and thousands of selfies. And there's so much that goes on with that. You know, the way that they're interacting with each other is they're waiting for these likes. They're waiting to be, you know, socially affirmed, to feel well and to feel good about themselves through an online app. And I have a great concern about that, because this, you know, obviously this is the age where girls and boys, you know, they're very self-concerned on how they look, mm-hmm. how they're viewed, and they put a picture up and they're sitting there waiting to see who's going to like their picture, who's going to compliment them, and they're basing so much of their self-worth on this type of communication. And so I am really, really concerned about that piece as well. There's a lot of kids that feel left out. They're also having contests online, things like, I'm going to tag you to do the black and white photo selfie. And so there's just a whole range of communication that's going on, and I think it's really concerning in regard to how these kids feel about themselves and how they view themselves as a child, as, you know, as a young teen growing up right now. It's such a sensitive age.
Well, Dr. J mentioned Alert ID, which is a free app, which you can see about that. We featured a show with the founder of that, and you can get a hold of that app, alertid.com. Also, I think it's important to know about the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative with Marianne Franks and Danielle Citrin and Carrie Goldberg. And what I mentioned about that is that there's a whole movement to make to try to bring online safety, especially to the most vulnerable women and girls online. And that's called the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative. These are some very brilliant attorneys who are trying to get laws changed, because it looks like what you're saying is that you hope that things get tighter on these networks, because there is a danger, you know, and that, and we're worried about it too. We've been dealing with it a lot.
Right. And I think parents are not aware of what's going on. You know, either they're it changes so quickly, they're not paying attention, and it moves so fast. And, you know, like I said, the Generation X, you know, a lot of parents are just lost and don't know what's the limit, where am I looking, what do I do? There's a whole education piece for parents as well that needs an open discussion.
Okay, Robin, so along those lines, though, just to interject for a second, you say that, but what do you base that statement on? How do you know the parents aren't paying attention, or are they paying attention? I'm just asking because, or are they paying attention and they don't know what to do? I mean, what do you think?
I think based on what I've seen, personally, I don't think that some of them are, I think that many of them are not paying attention, or they may be paying attention and feel okay with it, but may not know the ramifications.
Okay.
Which is a possibility.
Okay. How dangerous.
Because I think if, you know, I've had discussions with people in my neighborhood and they were like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for letting me know. I didn't know that the location services was turned on. So, you know, this is from some personal experience and people that, you know, that I know personally. So where I would approach them and say, you know, you look at your daughter's picture, your son's picture, and you can hit, you know, the privacy and where it says the geolocation, and it gives you your direct address right where that child lives to the house. So, I'm talking from just the personal experiences that I've had.
We know how busy parents are. It's busy enough to raise a family, and then when you're both working, or maybe you're a single parent and working, I know that so many people are just plain in overwhelm. But
right, it is.
Yeah,
it is an overwhelming time. It's almost like you have to raise your child worrying about their regular life and their digital life.
Oh, exactly.
And that's a really lit piece that, you know, that our that the prior generation didn't have to go through, you know, managing two lives now.
Right. Times however many people are in your family. Coming up then in our next segment, we'll talk more about parenting tweens in the Instagram age. I'm Jane Karwoski with my co-host Jim Nico, and you're listening to The Social Network Show. Our guest is educator par excellence, Robin Schulman.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Visiting my 75-year-old aunt the other day when her phone rang.
Hello? It's you again.
She seemed nervous. Uh-huh.
Well, I don't think I need any more life insurance.
The caller was doing a great job keeping my aunt on the line.
Okay, so you need my credit card number?
My aunt went to get her purse, so I decided that I would ask a few questions. Well, as soon as I introduced myself, the caller hung up.
Abrupt the Crime Dog here. Recognizing the signs of fraud can be difficult for older people. Often they're very trusting and consider it impolite to hang up. The National Crime Prevention Council wants to educate seniors so that these scams can be reported to local law enforcement agencies.
Financial fraud can include identity theft, fake check and wire transfer scams, investment and credit card fraud, and online charitable solicitations. Unfortunately, only 1 in 5 of these crimes are reported. To learn more, go to www.ncpc.org. That's ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the U.S. Department of Justice.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where Jim Nico and I are chatting with Robin Schulman about tweens and Instagram. Well, Robin, we were talking about the need for parental monitoring because as busy as parents are, who else is going to do this? There's really no one else going to do this. So can you give parents what are the basics, the most important things to do if you have obviously limited time?
Well, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I think you need to make sure that your child's location settings are off. It's very, very important so nobody can find where they are. Privacy settings, you know, you need to make sure that you are paying attention to their privacy settings so that they are only allowed to connect with their friends and follow and connect with somebody that they know. Their privacy settings are very important. Another suggestion I have is pseudonyms. They don't have to put their real name, and they don't have to even put their own picture. So what they can do is kind of give a fake name, and you can put any picture you want up there. It doesn't have to be of yourself. And monitor the selfies and monitor the personal pictures. Those are really, really important. And talk to them. You know, the most important thing is talking to them, having an open house, open discussions, because these are times that we need to be talking to our kids more than ever.
Yeah.
So talking to them and understanding and explaining to them that whatever they're sharing with the world, you're part of that world, and that you are going to be monitoring that. So, you know, that piece is so important. The communication has to be there.
Right. And this is not something behind their back that they are doing, but it's out in the open. One of our other guests, Dr. Elizabeth Englander, from Massachusetts Aggression Reduction Center, has mentioned the importance of not catastrophizing everything to the point of, if you do this, the worst thing in the world that you can think of is sure to happen. Well, kids know that's not true. You're losing your credibility when you proclaim that. So safety, but also ethical, you know, we had someone from the Harvard Graduate School of Education and Project Zero and the LEARN project, that ethical and moral behavior, those are things we need to talk about too. It's not just our concern for your safety, you know, to the child, but and that way when you get, there's lots of stuff to talk about. Well, how do you respond when somebody disses your photo or that you put up or something like that?
One of the things, if I may, one of the things that it just absolutely is important, we learned it from, again, from Dr. Englander, and it's very simple, but a lot of, like Jane mentioned, Dr. J, and you said, a lot of people are really busy. They're more than ever, you know, and some of them are overwhelmed and they don't know what to do. Dr. Englander pointed out a very important part, and that is tell your kids the real risks that again, like Dr. J said, don't catastrophize it or whatever, but tell them the real risks and in their terms at their level. But the other thing is that don't give up. Tell your kids, like, for example, if I were you, I wouldn't do this on this social network. Because she said what happens is that the kids that hear that guidance from their parents, when they go out, they may still go on that network, but they might not. And they're going to think about it in long term. They're going to develop their value judgments in a much higher level than kids that are just ignored.
Right. And you know what? That's such a good point, because the ethical and the moral part is so important. You know, there's there's parents where you see that they get very upset when they see pictures of their children online, and they don't want their children to be online. So for example, even talking to your kids and saying, maybe, you know, you need to ask your friend if it's okay if they're in the picture. You know, those are all like little lessons that we can build on as far as moral and ethics, because that is a big part of this and how they behave and how they treat each other. Because, you know, they just take pictures of each other, for example, on the bus coming home, and mm-hmm. then they just post them, and they don't think twice. They don't think about, you know, maybe I should ask my friend if it's okay to post that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe their parent doesn't want them. All of these things that are going on, they're going so fast, and their brains are moving so quickly, and they're just not thinking about consequences.
Well, now, these are really young brains, too, 10 to 12.
Yes.
Is there
exactly.
something that you can tell us about, you know, what are the things that haven't developed yet for them in terms of thinking?
Well, you know, like their frontal lobe of their brain, you know, I didn't think that develops until you're after 20, I think. So
no.
I think that their understanding of risk-taking is just cognitively, it's not built yet. It's not there. So I think that they're very, very fast at making, not even really making decisions. They're not stopping to pause and think. And so I try to have that conversation with my daughter all the time. Stop and think before you do anything. That's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's very, very important how you express yourself. And if you wouldn't say it in front of me, it shouldn't be said.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so, that's interesting. I like that. Will you repeat that?
If you wouldn't say it in front of me, it shouldn't be said.
Wow, I like that. Rule of thumb.
And saying it online is the same thing as you're really saying it. I think that's the other thing we've often discussed, too, is that there's a sense of unreality about what
mm-hmm.
happens online, but that
mm-hmm.
cyberspace is real. It's not a fairyland. It's not something that has no impact in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that in risk perception, it's a combination of how likely do you think it would be to happen, and how disastrous would it be? You know, how serious,
mm-hmm.
how bad would it be? So you may think that something is very unlikely to happen, but if it did, it would be really bad. So those
right.
are the extremes. But what's likely to happen? And, you know, is that exactly good? It's not something positive, but it's quite likely to happen. And so those
right.
are the things, perhaps, that what would fall into that category, do you think?
You know, I think just sometimes even the simple things, because of this age range, you know, if you remember this age range and how you felt about yourself, you know, you're with the braces, and you're very, very
mm-hmm.
concerned with your looks at 12, and that is a big part of their lives. And so, you know, when they put pictures online and they don't think about, you know, who's going to make a comment or who maybe they won't get all the likes that they expected, I think we really need to talk about how did you feel? How do you feel when you didn't get that like? Did it consume you? You know, was it worth it? Was it worth putting that picture up? Don't let social media define who you are. I think that's so
mm-hmm.
important. We let our kids know, don't let these online worlds make you feel that you're this type of person or that type of person. These types of consequences in regard to self-esteem
mm-hmm.
and how you feel about yourself are so real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that I would know that there are probably many girls going to sleep and crying at night because they saw another group of girls who had a party and they weren't invited to it, and they'll see the picture of those girls online. And so there are, I think there's long-term effects
uh-huh.
in regard to how a young girl or a young boy feels about him or herself.
That's rather serious and yet very likely mm-hmm. to happen, so that's a major risk.
But the thing I don't understand, though, is like I see the devastation. I mean, we've seen it in the pandemic of cyberbullying. We've seen the suicides that, you know, we're working on this, working on these problems all the time in the social networks,
mm-hmm.
the dangers on social networks and this overexposure. But But what was really powerful about what you said is if you say something very practical to your daughter, you know, because if you say don't do something to a kid that age, won't they most likely do it? I mean, in other words, it's, you know what I mean?
Or any age.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. They will. They will rebel. If you know, there's also this fine line. If you say you can't be on anything, you know, then they're going to rebel, in my opinion. You know, so how we started off was, well, you can be on one or two of certain things, but you can take pictures of things. You can't put pictures of yourself.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's how I started personally, to give myself my own comfort level and to know that she had the space that she needed to be to grow, but in a positive way. So I think there's just different strategies and different ways that you can go about it, about dealing with that. But we don't talk about that, the way kids feel about themselves in regards to these social media things. We do talk about the bullying and the suicide because they're so dramatic and they're horrific. But we don't talk about the long-term effects in regard to how kids feel about themselves during this stage and how it carries with them into their teen and adult years. And I do think it will.
It certainly seems reasonable to expect that. Mm-hmm. So, and mm-hmm. I see this much bigger issue as it's not just online. It's the whole question of who decides who you are. Can you decide who you are, or do you have to depend on other people to tell you who you are? And the issue of, you know, well, if other, that's one thing that drives me nuts about Facebook is the likes. Oh, do you like me? Like me on Facebook.
I know. I know. It drives me crazy too. And you know what? Adults are addicted to it. They are. They're waiting. They're sitting there. And I only post my education stuff. Once in a while, maybe a family, something small. But I agree. You know, valuing your self-worth based on who likes a picture and who doesn't is just, it's so wrong. You know, when I think about when I was 12, you know, it's so hard to imagine, having to get your kids through this stage. It's so different.
Well, this is a long-term project that our discussion here.
Yes.
So thank you so much for joining us, Robin. Robin Schulman.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listener and most important guest for keeping us company on The Social Network Show. Do visit our website at thesocialnetworkstation.com. You will also find us on podcast1.com. And can follow us on Twitter at Social Net Show. Until next time, please have fun and be safe, online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.